Today, it's easy listening to the readings to see themes of light and joy. But before we look at the gospel, let's look at the second reading from Corinthians and unpack it. Might be tempting to think that Paul was one heck of a speaker, because in many of his letters, and including Acts of the Apostles, we hear about Paul and his various speeches. But in this letter, Paul seems to be saying something different. He's indicating that maybe he's not one of the best of speakers. Now, the city of Corinth was influenced by Greek thought, and one of the marks of the culture was that there was a high value placed on rhetoric and philosophy. It seems that Paul used a very common way of speaking in Greek, and his form of argumentation was influenced by his background in Judaism rather than deep philosophy. And it's easy to be impressed by someone who speaks eloquently, using various words to describe different things. Verbal skills, they're good to have when speaking with others. But as Paul points out, the good news of Jesus is not dependent on that. Jesus came to transform lives, to forgive sins, to lead us into eternal life with God. And these are realities, not theatrical oratory or spells from a clever magician. And those who want the flashy may not be impressed with the cross of Christ, because really, how entertaining is the cross? The Mass deserves our best. For that, we can probably all agree. Good music, good preaching can inspire. But that can't be the basis of our faith, because we can become quickly disappointed. The reason should be much deeper, where we become truly present to the event of the Paschal mystery, the life, the death, the resurrection of Christ. And maybe by the world standards, you might get a better form of entertainment through your TV or going to a highly energized sports venue. But what we do here is a demonstration of the Holy Spirit who works through the body of Christ, and it does have real transformative power in our lives, provided we receive it in faith. This Mass is real, and maybe it's not as seemingly as exciting as some other services from other traditions, but the crucified and risen Christ is really present here for those who are willing to open their hearts in faith. And I can identify with this, because I feel totally inadequate standing here and preaching. I don't have the way with words, and my style is not that exciting. But even more importantly, Christ is the basis for why I do it. And in spite of my weaknesses and in spite of my failures, I know Christ is present and can get his word across to those who open their hearts in faith. Now, the gospel passage is a continuation of what was started last weekend in the Beatitudes, and the whole reflection of the two chapters in Matthew that we're reading from now is called the Sermon on the Mount. And two figures come to mind when you look at those two chapters from Matthew: Moses and Solomon. Moses went up the mountain to receive the law, and Solomon is the king that was given divine wisdom. Salt and light are used in many celebrations today as they were back then. They were also used as preservatives and even disinfectants. Meat and fish were dried in the sun, and salt was used to preserve. Light was used in festivals for the temple, and salt was used in the covenant sacrifices in the temple. So what does all of that mean? Each member of the church is the new temple, and we are to become the light for the world. And together, as the body, we become the source of joy for our society. We become a living witness to a loving God. And it's good to consider how we let the light of our own personal good deeds shine before others as a witness to the gospel, inspiring others to glorify God and not ourselves. And this means that our faith cannot just seclude itself to this space only on this particular day of the week. What we do here must be an expression of God's love to our co-workers and neighbors on an everyday basis. We must be the beacon of joy and hope individually, so that collectively our light shines so brightly that it guides people to our loving God. The church calls us to a life of joy connected with our generosity to the poor and to the marginalized. We must be the preservative that allows God's mercy and forgiveness to unburden those who are trapped in the shackles of fear, despair, hopelessness, and even darkness itself. So today, we are called by Jesus not to be complacent, not to be indifferent, but we are a people whose very identity is vibrant mission to the world.